Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we simply pray this morning, let your truth work in our hearts, that we may always be able to discern what is of you and what is not of you. Work in our hearts a firm conviction of your truth, that we may measure all that we hear based on the word of truth you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. You have message notes in your worship folder to follow this morning. We'll be looking at the first verses of 1 John chapter 4. If you'd like to have that open in your scripture, in your app, however you'd like to take in the word of God from the biblical text. Moving from deception to discernment. You perhaps have been in a conversation with someone for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden they insert the phrase, I want to be honest with you. And when I hear that, I'm like, well, have you not been honest with me up to this point? Or in a similar situation, you're maybe talking about trying to buy something, you're talking with a salesperson, and they'll carry on about the validity of a product or the benefits of a product, and then later in the conversation, he said, I'm not going to lie to you. Well, again, in my mind, I'm like, well, have you been lying to me up to this point? And now after saying this, I can trust that what you have to say is true and accurate? I think there's a part in all of us, maybe some more than others, depending on life experience, that we don't like to be deceived, do we? We don't like someone to tell us one thing and then for the reality to show up being something different. And the more that happens in our life and our interaction, perhaps it makes us skeptical about what anybody is saying. And inside, we fear that we are going to be duped. We fear that we are going to be sold a bill of goods that isn't what it was made out to be. Now that's in life. We don't like to be deceived. We don't like to be lied to. And I pray that in our words and our actions, we speak with honesty and we speak with truth, that someone doesn't have to readily discern, well, is this guy telling me the truth? Is this gal telling me the truth? But rather, God has worked just a truthful spirit in us that we can always be honest. But outside of our, or in addition to our human interactions and in life in general, perhaps the bigger area that we want to look at this morning is in the regard to spiritual things. Because I would have to say there is a lot of noise in the religious speak community. There's lots of messages that come across very honest and very truthful and very heartfelt. There's many ways to believe in our culture. There are many religions and practices of religion. We don't have time to go through all of them, but I would say also in the human heart, we want to know what is truth. And we want to know what is that which can settle our hearts and settle our souls. And perhaps among the religious noise and the religious speak of our culture, there's also a voice that says, each one of those has an element or has validity or has truth. And so we want to acknowledge every belief system on its own merit and to claim that one is truth and one is deception. In fact, that is almost the only lie you can speak, to claim that one has truth and others don't. And so being connected to the Christian faith, where we'll see that those claims are made, perhaps it is even tempting for us as Christians to let go of being discerning and say, you know what, it's too hard. You know what, I don't want to tell someone they're wrong. And perhaps even in that, the fear is that accurate? Is every belief system the same? Is every religion that we run into equally valid for someone? Which brings us to try and sort this out based on what we have as confidence that is truth in the Word of God. But it is interesting how God speaks to this issue and how He wants our hearts to be secure and to be at rest and to be discerning of what is truth and what is not. For behind every spiritual deception, John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Behind every spiritual deception really is a missionary of Satan. And that may sound kind of blunt, but if it is not of God, it is a lie of Satan. And that's really what God is calling us to be discerning about, so that we're not deceived. Because you can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where Satan, as he interacted with Adam and Eve, threw them a lie. Or maybe a half-truth. You'll be like God, knowing both good and evil, which they would be, but God didn't want them to have to experience evil. And so they ate of the fruit and they were deceived, and as a result, live in the consequence. So why is this issue important? Because discerning what is truth and what we put our faith in and what is lie and deception has an eternal consequence. It's not just I bought a bad car or I bought a bad electronic device and I should have bought something different. Those are very minor in comparison of discerning what is the truth of God and what is the deception of our enemy, Satan. So how do we find this discernment? This is where I'd like to turn our attention to 1 John chapter 4. In the first six verses, we'll just take it in three little sections. To give you a little background, so the Gospel of John and the letters of John are all written by the Apostle John. Makes sense? And John was the longest, according to church history and tradition, the longest living apostle. So all the others had died prior to him, and he lived, some say, into his early 90s. And as a result of that longevity, his gospel connects with some of the content that was not included in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And a lot of Jesus' discourses, like this whole prayer before, this whole interaction before his death, Thursday evening, is only in John's gospel. And in his letters, which more pertains to what we want to talk about today, one of the things that John had the opportunity to observe is the distance from the actual time of Christ that already in the Christian community, not just outside the Christian community, but already inside the Christian community, false teaching was coming into play. And a big thing that was in John's day in that late first century was a teaching known as Gnosticism, G-N-O-S-T-I-S-M, which means, it comes from a Greek word, gnosis, which is to know. And this was a group of people that had downplayed the material being. They had downplayed the physical nature of Christ and just say he showed up kind of as a ghost appearing to be human, but he really wasn't human. And what was more important was the knowledge about Christ and some of the things he taught versus really acknowledging that he came and lived and died and rose again. And so already, just a few years after Jesus had left this earth, the church was dealing with false teachers. And so John writes this, says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So the first thing, how do I find discernment? First of all, test all spirits. Test all the spirits. Now, why do I say this? It may sound obvious. John says it, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Because again, in our culture, sometimes it feels wrong to even try and be discerning. Have you ever felt that way? It's like if I try and even determine if this is of God or not of God, I'm the bad one. I'm the one who has something wrong with me. Now again, I don't want to be discerning. We're going to play this out. What's the measuring component of being discerning? But John starts off and says, do not believe. And that's an ongoing, ongoing action. Do not always believe. Do not continue to believe. Not just at his time, but even today. Do not believe every spirit. Before you put your faith in something, test. Put it to the test. Test every spirit to see whether they are from God. Because here's the reality. Many false prophets have gone into the world. You see, what happens when we are deceived, see, part of even the deception is that we shouldn't be discerning. And Satan would love for that to happen and say, you know what, just acknowledge that Christianity and Buddhism and Muslim and every other religion and even different things in Christianity, they're just different iterations of the same God, and they all have equal validity and they all have equal truth, and stop trying to discern what is right or wrong and just go along with the flow that everybody has their belief and it's good for them. And that in itself is a deception, which leads us to allow lies to exist with truth, errors to exist with truth, falsehood to exist with truth. And Satan knows that if I can insert lies, remember Jesus says that's all he can do is pour out lies to distort the truth, because what is his ultimate goal is to disconnect us from the truth that saves us. And if we give up our discernment or even trying to be discerning, ultimately we will give up the truth. 1 John 2, verse 21, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it and because no lie comes from the truth. You see, what John is saying to those that are reading his letter, he says, I write to you because you know the truth. And I don't want you to lose that. I don't want you to allow to infiltrate into your heart and mind, as God has worked a conviction in the truth, lies and deception. And this was John's pastoral heart to the people who would read this letter, not only in his generation, but to us today. I love you too much. God loves you too much to allow your heart to be deceived. So I want you to be discerning. I want you to test all the spirits. Even what you hear here on a Sunday morning. What comes across as religious speak, sermons you watch or podcasts you listen to. Test all the spirits. God gives you permission to be discerning. So let's continue to hold that perspective. It doesn't mean we have to be mean-spirited. It doesn't mean we have to be closed-minded or just push people away. It means we are discerning, that before I allow something to sink into my heart, I'm going to put it through some filters. What are those filters that John gives us? He goes on in verse 2. So he says, test the spirits, see whether they're from God. Now he gives us two big categories of how to do that. Verse 2 says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. At first read, you're like, well, how does that provide that great of litmus test Because there's a lot of people, a lot of faiths that believe that Jesus existed. So does that put them all on the equal plane? Is that the bottom line litmus test that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God? That's an important phrase, because what John is saying, because remember, he's dealing with a group of Gnostic false teachers that said he just kind of came in spirit, but he didn't come in the flesh. And there were others that believed that he came as a human being and then at his baptism was infused with the Christ spirit, and then when he died, that was taken away, and so he wasn't God throughout his life. God just used him for that period of time to carry out the work that he wanted him to do. So with those two false teachings in mind, what John is saying, if you don't acknowledge that Jesus is both true God and true man, that is not a spirit that is from God, because God sent his Son as true man and true God into this world. Test number two, test all belief to who Jesus is and what he came to do. Who Jesus is and what he came to do. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. John, in his letter, kind of circles around, if you read the letter of John, to these themes. And so he hits it in chapter 2, and he comes back to it in chapter 4. And he gives us a little bit more insight. He says, it is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. So denying that Jesus was true God and denying his work, that he came to be Savior of all, God's set-apart, promised one, if it detracts from, derides from, or does not proclaim who Jesus is and what he came to do in all his completeness, John is saying that is the spirit of that which opposes Christ, the Antichrist. And at the heart of the spirit of the Antichrist is the lies and deception of Satan, and everyone who detracts from the completed work of Christ in full or in part stands against Christ. So if we're looking for discernment, and we're thinking, what do we allow our souls to rest in? What John knew from his interaction teaching with Jesus is he was true God and true man. He was true man to live under the law that you and I lived under, but obeyed it perfectly. He went to the cross as true man and he died, but his death counted for everybody because he was true God. You see, if I miss those two key teachings, I am left to make up for my salvation in full or in part by my performance. And so as I said, perhaps in other messages, and what's settled in my heart and mind is there's really only two world religions. Either God has done it completely in the person of Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man and was the Christ, or I need to do it in some way, in full or in part. And so that's what I listen for. Does this teaching acknowledge not that Jesus just existed and he was a great moral teacher and I should acknowledge some of his teaching, but is he the one who has completed the work of my salvation? Is he true God, born of the Virgin Mary? We're going to confess in the Apostles' Creed in just a few minutes. And perhaps they're so memorized in our hearts and minds, but those were key teachings that discerned and helped believers discern what is truth and what is not. The Spirit of God acknowledges who Jesus is and all that he came to do. And here's kind of the, I'm going to say, scary thing. Because it's easy to recognize that which has great differences. Right? A faith system that doesn't acknowledge Jesus, I would hope that we would be able to say, okay, that's not the same as biblical Christianity. But sometimes the hardest to discern is that which was in the church itself. You see, this Gnostic influence at the time of John, it wasn't out there. It was in here, in the body of believers. And John was pointing it out because he had concern for the souls that were beginning to drift to that belief and that understanding, which did not acknowledge and deny the person and work of Jesus. And he says, when you throw that away, you throw away your salvation. And so the encouragement also, even under things that are called Christian, we want to be discerning. And again, that's not a popular thing in our culture. And I wish that we could, as a Christian community, wholeheartedly come together around the person and work of Jesus and find our complete assurance for salvation in who Jesus is and what he came to do. But when you have churches or church bodies denying the miraculous birth and the virgin birth, or denying the resurrection, or denying that Jesus completed all our work and we have to finish it, those are big gaps. And if I let go of that, I let go of who Christ is and I stop being discerning and I allow myself to be deceived. Discernment comes when I test all belief to who Jesus is and what he came to do. John goes on in verse 4 to 6. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. The third component this morning to move from deception to discernment: test all messages to the words God gave us. Test all messages to the word God gave us. John sets up here those who listen and promote the viewpoint of the world to those who listen and promote the viewpoint of God. And so a question that we have to ask ourselves, is this a teaching of the world, or is this a teaching of God? And John says, whoever listens to us listens to God. Now, at first you may say, well, who is John to say that? But John was one who sat in the presence of Jesus. He was the eyewitness. And remember, Jesus gave a specific promise to his apostles. The Holy Spirit will come and he will remind you of all these things. And then they wrote them down and preserved them for us to read and learn and understand. And so one of the treasures that I feel blessed to be part of is a church body that teaches us to read the scriptures and to teach the scriptures, not just going to the newspaper and saying, okay, now we can use those for illustrations, but taking the word of God and presenting it, whether, as one of our hymns says, whether we like it or like it not, it's there to learn and to understand and to put into practice. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. So we have to ask ourselves, to whom am I listening? What messages are filling your heart and your mind? Are they the viewpoints of the world, the latest poll, the latest news article, the latest religious fad? Or are the words of God filling your heart and your mind? So that you can even be like a Berean in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul preached a sermon, and they went back to the scriptures to see if what Paul was preaching was true. I want you to do that. I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to go back to your word of God, the Holy Scriptures, and measure even what you hear here to the words that we know have come from God himself and those that he has given his spirit to record them for us. Because it's easy to allow the messages of the world to conform our heart and conform our mind. And they sound pretty good, and we try and mesh them with our Christian faith at times. But in the end, perhaps we are being deceived into the values and the purpose and the significance that the world offers versus what God wants us to listen to. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. We can't be discerning if we continue to allow ourselves to be deceived. And if we do that when we don't even try to be discerning. And so John says, this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. By testing the spirits. By measuring all we hear to the person and work of Christ. And measuring what we hear to the words that God has given us. And here's the truth that Jesus gives in John 8. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Ultimately, the truth sets our hearts free from the sin that condemns us. It sets us free from the guilt that our sins desire to carry with us. It sets us free to know that when our life on this earth is done, heaven it waits for us. It sets us free from those big things of faith, and it settles our heart that I don't have to go, have I done enough? Have I done the perform the right thing and done the right thing? I just get to live in view of God's mercy and the love that he's given me to show that. But my heart can be settled because the truth has set me free from the deception that Satan and the world around me wants me to buy into. It also sets me free from allowing my heart to be captivated by things that perhaps smaller things that my significance and worth and value is based on how much I earn, how many people like me, and those sort of things. But to have the truth that I am one of God's dear children through the waters of baptism, he put his name on me. I can be set free from those sins that nag me of my past that I wish I wouldn't have done and I hope no one ever finds out about. But my heart can be set free from that guilt of that because I know it was taken to the cross and completely paid for. I know life has its ups and downs and we have its worries and concerns about the people we love and the family that we have and what's going to happen. And my heart can be set free from that worry because I know that God watches over all of them. And God cares for them just like he cares for the sparrows, how he takes care of the grass of the field. I can go through the stresses of career and finances and relationships, and those things can weigh down in my heart, but the truth of God can set me free when I know the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and I know that the love of Christ can heal deep wounds, and I know where I have been forgiven, and I can forgive others, and the truth can set my heart free. And so Jesus doesn't just encourage us to be discerning, to have some great dogmatic or theological exercise. And it's not just for pastors to do. Notice John doesn't just say, "You, dear pastors, test every spirit for the people in your congregation." I want you to be able to be discerning. I want you to have that uncomfortable feeling that goes, "I don't think that's right." And go back to the Word of God to measure whether what you think is not right is actually wrong or actually right, because God's Spirit of truth leads you to discern what is truth and what is error. Throughout the Scriptures, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth." And then he goes on to teach us. Throughout the Scriptures, he says, "I'm not going to lie to you because lies are not my native tongue." That's the native tongue of Satan. Truth is my native tongue. Throughout the Scriptures, he says, "You can believe in me." And he has given us the Scriptures to put our hearts at rest. So that when we fear, we are being deceived. Through his Spirit, we find discernment. And through discernment, know the truth. And in the truth, our hearts are set free. Amen. May God's peace that comes from knowing the truth that he has given to us in his holy word through the power of his Spirit rest and reside deeply in your hearts and always give you a spirit of discernment to test the spirits, to see whether they're from God, so that your heart may always reside in the truth of who Jesus is, what he's done, and the words that he has given us. Amen.